Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel any time.
Can I be real for a second? That goal you have to exercise and eat better, you really can do it. But nobody is going to do it for you. And nobody has to, because you can do it if you have the right tools and a community that cares about helping you get results. And that's us, Beachbody. It's as convenient as your TV or laptop, but you need to decide that you're worth it. Let us help you succeed. Here's how. Go to Beachbody.com to claim your free membership and start feeling great.
Hello, and welcome to Vacation Station, hosted by Lisa and Nancy, editors of BigBlendMagazines.com.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Big Blend Radio's Vacation Station Travel Show. Today, we welcome back Glenn Burrows. He is a family history expert, a tour guide, and owner of Norfolk Tours in England. And today, he's joining us to talk about mixing business with leisure, or is it leisure? I really don't mind, but it basically, if you're going to do business and you're going to travel, you might as well have some fun doing it. Exactly. He's got an article about this up on blendradioandtv.com. He's also got one about how actual tourism entities like hotels and lodging places should look at being open to more business travelers and how to accommodate them. That will be in our upcoming Success Express business magazine. But when talking about what you can do as a business traveler, having some fun in England, that will be in our upcoming Vacation Station magazine. Most importantly, go to Glenn's website. It's norfolk-tours.co.uk. So welcome back, Glenn. How are you?
Hello. Yeah, I'm good. Thanks. A bit chilly over here at the minute, but we're all fantastic. Thanks.
I heard that's a little frosty.
Yeah,
snowman's coming to visit.
White. Looking out of my dining room window, the garden is all white. And it's not snow, it's just frost. But there you go.
Aww. Are you feeding the birds? The birds
need
help.
I've been out there doing that. Yeah, all good. Oh,
that's good. Now, you know, so is it bleisure or bleisure? Tomato, tomato. Are we back to that again?
this word. As I put in the article, I think it just should be called making the most of your business travel. That sounds much nicer.
I know. It's really because if you're going to do business, I think pleasure, when they said don't mix business and pleasure, whoever came up with that term is wrong. I think, you know, if you don't have fun, and they've even proven in, you know, just even looking at a team working on a project in business, if the team don't get along together and have some kind of activity, whether it's pizza in the boardroom, whether it's going out afterwards for some fun, if, you know, a team doesn't get to have some fun together, they don't get to know each other. So therefore, they don't have those relationships to pull you through the thick and thin in a business.
Exactly. I mean, and if you look at it as when you're talking about business travel, why not have the team away days, which they do, but you can mix that in with actually mixing with the people who you're going to meet with. Because if you're going to go abroad to have a business meeting with another group of people, why not actually get to know them?
Exactly.
Because, you know, we do business with people. We don't do business with another business. We do business with people, you know. Absolutely. And I think that, well, I know, the only reason that I stay connected with you and Nancy is I like you as people. You know, if I didn't
like you. Well, good. We like you as a person,
yeah,
too.
But what I'm saying is if I didn't like you as a person, I wouldn't work with you.
Right.
So that's what it's all about, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. It is true. And it goes within a team, within the company, but it also extends out, especially if you're going to England to do business. You might want to go and find out more about the culture. You were talking about that the last time on the show.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think you need to go in the store, go find out what, you know, English tea is. What is high tea versus low tea? You don't have low tea. But you know what I mean? It's like, go find out about, and also that could be a talking point when you go out to meet you know, potential clients and or clients already go,
yeah,
okay, I really don't understand. What is this high tea thing? Can you teach me about it? Exactly. It opens doors because you're willing to learn.
Yeah. I mean, if say, for instance, you meet someone at a seminar and you say, well, can we meet for coffee? As a foreign visitor, you might sort of think, oh, well, I better go to one of these well-known coffee bars to go to. But instead of doing that, why not ask the person who lives there what little tea shop he can recommend? You know,
yeah.
Mrs. Miggins tea shop, you know, or whoever they might be. You know, instead of going to these big multinational companies that actually haven't got anything to do with where you are, why not go and see Mrs. Miggins, who actually makes her own cakes in the back of the tea shop, you know, and then you're actually learning about where you are.
Mm. So in England, let's talk about what you can experience. I mean, conferences, I know there's the big hotels, the brand hotels, and they serve a purpose. However, I know you're very much like there are different options. Tell us a little bit about, and for those listening, you'll have to read Glenn's article and see the photos, but behind you, for those watching, you've got this, it looks like a castle. What is that? Because that could be like a meeting place, right?
Yeah, this is actually a conference center, and it's just outside Cambridge. They've got loads of different sized meeting rooms in there. So, you know, you've got the big meeting rooms, but you've got small meeting rooms, more intimate ones, you know, for 10 or a dozen people, or even just two or three people. And that is a massive conference center just outside Cambridge. All the accommodation is in the outbuildings around the courtyard. And the place is set in acres of grounds designed by Capability Brown, you know. So it is actually what used to be a stately home, you know, one of these great big houses that were owned by a big family. It's now owned by a part of Cambridge University, and it's used as a conference center, as a meeting place. And that is absolutely beautiful.
You know? So you could go outside of the big city, because a lot of people just go immediately to the city, you know, land in the airplane and take a taxi or, I don't know, Uber, whatever you do, a rental or a shuttle to your hotel. And then you turn around and leave and you have not seen anything about England.
No.
Or maybe you've gone to a pub in the city. So maybe that's it.
Yes. And this particular
place. So you can't say you've been to England.
Well, not really, can you? You've just probably been to another spit and cardboard hotel, as I call them, with a bed, a hotel.
I didn't say it.
No, well, I did. I can't help it. You know, these spit and cardboard hotels have got bedrooms that are just like rabbit hutches. And you don't know where you are when you wake up. You could be in Dubai or you could be in England or you could be in America. Whereas if you wake up and you look out of your window at that building, you know that you're not in America. You know, you know that you're somewhere different. And, you know, when you're walking around, I mean, just what, I don't know, a quarter of a mile from that place is a lovely little village pub. So you could just walk down to the village pub in the evening and have a pint with the locals. You know, in Cambridge or in any city, I'm not knocking Cambridge. Cambridge is gorgeous. And if you come to England and you don't go to Cambridge, you're mad. But anyway, if you go to Cambridge, you know, you're in a city centre, you know, so you've got a different, I don't know, you've got a different type of people who are in the middle of a city to who you are in the village. If you go to the village pub, you're going to meet local village people.
And maybe hear some music.
Well, you know. Very often in a pub, you'll find someone who starts into whatever, playing the piano or whatever, playing his guitar. You know, I mean, I remember I was in a pub once several years ago now, and I had my American visitors with me, and we were just sitting there. It was a very cold evening, and the fire was roaring. It was a gorgeous fire. And this old bloke came in with his dog, his Labrador, and the dog was wet, and he went and laid in front of the fire. And the dog was sort of steaming, you know, the steam was coming off the dog. And the old boy brought the landlord a brace of pheasants. Now, that was just such an English scene. And my American visitor said to me, did you lay that on for us? Did you lay that on? Like, did I hire an actor?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, no, that was just what happens in a
country life.
Yeah. And that's what you get, you know. But that's the sort of thing that I think.
That reminds me of Lord of the Manor.
Exactly. But that's, if you want to come and visit a place, you want to experience the place. Mm-hmm. You know, if I go to France, I don't order fish and chips. You know, I have what the French
eat. Did you eat the escargot?
Of course I adore escargot.
Do you?
I love to sup up all the melted garlic butter with my bread.
Ugh. You got a thing about melted butter. Now it's a new thing with you. It's a melted butter.
I do love me butter.
Oh, no margarine for you?
Oh. Dear, pah.
No. So, you know, we talk about the lodgings. So when people are planning the conferences to look at that, but there's people going over that their company has decided, hey, we're putting you in the spit and cardboard places like you talk about. But that doesn't mean they can't add a day or two prior or after for their own, or maybe their family's traveling. So that's another thing to look at. And to if you can only... maybe just say, oh, I only can do 1 or 2 days because I still have to go back to work once I get home.
Yes, of course.
Isn't it better to get a guide like I'm, you know, I just got to give you a big shout out here because to me, you have 1 or 2 days in England. Are you going to research it and hope you're right and spend hours doing that? Or do you just call Glenn and say, Glenn, or email Glenn, I want to see these kinds of things. Glenn puts it together and takes you around and helps you.
Yeah. I mean, that has been things that I've done. You know, someone have said that they are in Cambridge, for instance, for a week, and they've got a day off in between conference meetings, and they just want me to show them a good example of what's in the area. You know, not necessarily specific things, but they just want to have a look at something within the area. And yes, someone like I could do that. That's fine. I could do that sort of thing. Or you could do it yourself if you research local tourist information officers and things, because everything is on the web nowadays. So if you've got the time and the inclination, you can do it yourself. But if not, contact a local.
I'm calling you because I don't want to drive on the wrong side of the road.
Oh, yeah, that as well. yeah, that does make a difference. But, you know, it is something that you could do. And I mean, there's nothing worse, is there, than when you're in a hotel, you finish your conference for the evening and you go back to your room and you sit there and you're watching rubbish television in a spit and cardboard hotel. Whereas if you've got a taxi to take you 3 miles, 4 miles up the road, you could be sitting in a lovely country pub, having a proper lovely country pub type meal, drinking proper beer, talking to the locals. You know, so it's not only the hotel you can stay in, but it's what you do when you're in there.
You know, one of our big blend experts, Steve Piacente, is a life coach. Right. He's on our shows. And we were just talking about this because he always talks about he's a world traveler. And, you know, he travels for work, too. And he always adds time out. And he always, in fact, he's. I need to help him find a guide in Palm Springs because he's going there. And he goes, I always look for a tour guide when he travels because he likes to take photography. You know, he's a photographer, awesome photographer. Everyone look him up on Instagram. He really does amazing work. And he always finds someone, he goes, because you're not going to be able to research all of it yourself time-wise, you know. It's better to hire someone, say, I want to be able to catch a really good sunrise, or maybe it's Stonehenge at sunrise, maybe, you know, or sunset. I want to be able to do, this is the kind of photography I want to do. And he goes, it saves you so much time and money because, you know, especially if you can only add that 1 or 2 days, you know, that's my thing. That's really the typical thing.
What I do, obviously, with my normal visit, well, I say normal, sorry, that's not a word I should use probably, but my usual visitors who are interested in family history, I've already done all the research, so we can 9 times out of 10 walk straight into a churchyard and go straight up to the grave because I've already found it for them. Whereas if we were going to have to research where the grave is and then actually go there and find the specific grave, it could take us all day. So, you know, it is all about making the full use of the time that you've got, rather than sitting in that spit and cardboard hotel room watching rubbish television, you know.
And eating hotel room service.
Eating rubbish food, yeah. Why not go outside? Why not go to the local pub and have sausage and mash and a pint of beer? You
know, yeah.
What could you want better than sausage and mash?
But, you know, this is the other thing. You know, when we lived in England, Nancy and I are still like, why didn't we go to the Isle of Man? You know, our family history is out there, and we have family history in Hull and York and all these places.
Yeah.
And we were kind of, you know, we just weren't quite aware, let's put it that way, when we lived in England. But, you know, when we think about it now, even when we went back to England for a couple days, it went to Guernsey, I don't know, we, you know, we've done some different trips there, but never once did it really think how to, you know, get into your family history. Now it's a big deal. It's something easier to do on the internet.
Yes.
And I'm just thinking it could have taken us one day to get to wherever we wanted to go to see our family history. And how many people are going to England on a business trip or a conference, you know, or traveling and just working digital nomads like we are to be able to go, hey, I got this spare afternoon. You know, I heard that my uncle, great uncle so-and-so, you know, traveled here or did this. Let's go on a little adventure.
Yeah, exactly. Know? I mean, not being funny. I mean, England is not big. You know, you can go from anywhere in England to the coast, you know.
See, that's my background. Because honestly, if I'm going to do business, there's nothing like going out and calming yourself. You need to be centered. So I want to go to the beach.
to stand on the beach and just having the water wash up to the shore and back again is so
amazing
and calming, especially on a shingle. I love a shingle beach. But anyway, talking about beaches. But what I'm saying is England is so small compared to America that actually you can go anywhere within a couple of days. You know, well, I could go from here to the north of Scotland in about 13 hours. I think I drove up there once for somebody. And, you know, that is from one end of the country to the other. You know, so if say, for instance, you were in London and you thought, oh, yeah, but my great uncle served in the Second World War in an airfield in the middle of Norfolk. Well, you can be in the middle of Norfolk in an hour and a half. You know, so
you never know. Yeah.
You know, why not escape out of London for an hour and a half on the train, get me to pick you up, or if you want to hire a car, then, you know, but that's what I'm saying. England is so small that actually you can get anywhere in a reasonably short time. So even if you added a couple of days on the end of your holiday, you could get anywhere in England and probably Scotland and Wales, because we're all connected, and have a look at somewhere different.
Well, the other thing too is, you know, people travel. I know you get a lot of people also from Europe coming over to England, right?
Yeah.
And especially good now because prices are down in England for travelers. So if you're looking at doing business overseas, that's a good thing. But I know that there's individual consultants going over for specialized industries. Let's put it like one example, England is starting to have wineries, which I never thought that would happen, but it is.
Yeah,
but some of the people like in California, I know France is in your backyard, but maybe someone's coming from France to help you from Champagne or Burgundy. And, or in from California, from maybe someone who, like a professor from UC Davis, which is the place for winemakers and vintners. And I can, there's another big word that's out my head. So obviously I don't know my wine as well as I think, other than drinking
just drink it.
I just drink it. But I wanted to say oenologist, but I don't know what that is. But I don't know. But anyway, so they may go over as a consultant to help the wine region go, okay, this is the soil, this is, but that wine consultant is not going to go just to that winery. I know this part about wine. You want to figure out the terroir, the region, how, you know, maybe if the vineyard was planted on this slope over here, because maybe the coastal air will help this, all that stuff. I really don't understand, but it's cool. So they're going to come over as a consultant, but it's not just go directly to the winery and make an assessment and leave without understanding the actual region. So if someone said to you, hey, Glenn, I'm coming over. I'm just using the winery as an example because it's a new industry, right? That's something that's happening in England. Yes. I'm coming over. Can you take me around so I can go look at soil, do soil samples, and, you know, get an idea of the weather, all of that kind, and the actual topography? Would you do that?
Of course. I mean, I had a gentleman who actually lived in, I can't think where he lived. It was a Central European country. He wanted to relocate to England.
Oh.
And he liked East Anglia. And he said to me that he wanted me to find him a house. So I looked for a load of different properties.
Membership fees apply after free trial. Cancel any time.
Can I be real for a second? That goal you have to exercise and eat better, you really can do it. But nobody is going to do it for you. And nobody has to, because you can do it if you have the right tools and a community that cares about helping you get results. And that's us, Beachbody. It's as convenient as your TV or laptop, but you need to decide that you're worth it. Let us help you succeed. Here's how. Go to Beachbody.com to claim your free membership and start feeling great.
92% of households that start the year with Peloton are still active a year later.
92% because of a bike?
Not just bikes. We also make treadmills and rowers.
Oh, let me guess, for elite athletes only, right?
Nope. It doesn't matter if you're an avid exerciser or new to working out. Peloton can help you achieve your fitness goals. 92% stick with it. So can you. Try Peloton bikes, tread, or row risk-free with a 30-day home trial. New members only. Not available in remote locations. See additional terms at onepeloton.com/home-trial.
He found some as well. And we had, I think we had about 4 or 5 different trips over the matter of 4 or 5 months where he would fly over and I would take him around and look at houses and properties, you know, and that was a really interesting thing for me to do, but also it was really good for him because I could also then show him not only the house that he was looking at, but the area, you know, and so he knew what sort of place he was actually relocating to.
Yeah, you want to invest into a place that goes with who you are.
Well, exactly. And as it is, he has actually found somewhere and I know that he was thinking about moving in early part of this year, but I haven't heard back from him lately. So I'm sure he's busy doing all the stuff that he needs to do. But, you know, it is all about contacting the local people who have the local contacts as well. Mm. Because, you know, if you've got someone over here who's interested in winemaking or whatever, then I actually know somebody who used to have a vineyard in Norfolk. I know somebody else who grows fruit. So, you know, they would be helpful.
You never know.
People. Well, exactly. They would be helpful people to talk to. I also know several brewers because we have a lot of small breweries in Norfolk. So, in East Anglia, all together.
And here in this country, America, is the craft brew scene is every corner. It's massive compared to what it was. And it's something because the turnaround is quicker for beer than wine and spirits.
Obviously.
So they're able to do that. And it's cool. I mean, and agricultural wise, it's pretty good.
Yes.
You know, one thing I heard too is also when the Queen passed away, I was hearing all these reports of the merchandise, royal merchandise, being this big deal, and even things that had Prince Charles versus King Charles, all of this now the value was a big deal. So I'm wondering about American companies trying to import this kind of merchandise, and if that's something still going on in England. What do you think? Are people still avidly going crazy for what they can of what was made prior to the Queen's passing? That seems to be a big deal.
Not so much. I mean, when I was younger, I mean, coronation memorabilia and Jubilee memorabilia were quite collectible, but they're not collectible nowadays by many, many people as they used to, you know. My children wouldn't think about it. The schools will probably still give the children a coronation mug for Charles's coronation next year, but I don't think it's going to be a big market like it was for like the Queen's coronation or even for the Jubilees, because the 1977 Jubilee, her Silver Jubilee, was a really big event. But actually, the Platinum Jubilee, I don't even know whether I saw anything on sale for the Platinum, her 70th Jubilee.
Oh, wow.
You know,
so it's changed.
With Queen Victoria, there were loads of stuff for her Jubilees. But I think the whole thing about royalty has gone completely different, you know. So, yeah. But yes, I mean, from what you're saying is, if an American person has got an idea for a business and they need to come and have a look and explore the market, then that is the sort of thing, business and leisure, which you would work together on a tour. And, you know, that is the sort of thing that I could put together quite not. I mean, I had a lady over from the University of Hawaii, I think, and she was writing a new thesis, and she wanted to research her for her thesis, you know, different things. And I was able to take her to different places. I had a lady from a Canadian university who was doing a similar thing, who was researching a specific subject, and she needed, for her work in the university, she needed to look at specific things, you know, and I arranged her to look at specific things.
I remember you having authors over too.
Yeah,
like a writer may come, rent a cottage, write, and then it's like, I need to go research this for my book, you know, that kind of thing.
And like I say, you know, All I do is just research what they want me to find for them, and then I put together the different tours. And that is that's interesting for me, because I learn loads of different stuff, you know. But it's easy for them, because then they're not wasting time researching it themselves.
And you know, I know this sounds weird, but we have done shows on the English language being different between England, America, Canada, South Africa. Oh, it's different.
Definitely.
I mean, you even said a term just before we started recording, is the air blue? And I'm like, what? The sky's not blue right now. It's winter. But it is in the picture. Then I found out when you explained that, I was like, actually, that's pretty good. That's a good term. I like that.
Yes.
And it's about swearing, people.
If somebody is swearing a lot, we say that they're turning the air blue.
They're punching it. Yeah, that's a good term. But when you think about doing research, especially when you get into older English files, oh my God, I have no clue what you're talking about. When we look at like William Shakespeare, you have to go to school just to understand what Shakespeare was saying. I mean, it's a different lingo. And
it's a different language, definitely.
And you know where things are. That's the other thing. You could read something and think, oh, it's so many miles. It's only, you know, and that's something that gets me all the time as we travel.
Oh, yes.
You look at miles, but what the miles are versus what you think it's going to take you to get, there are two different things, because of traffic, mountain passes, you know, it's two different things. So there's as the crows fly versus reality.
Yes.
For humans.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, if you wanted to come to England, for instance, and you were staying in, we'll say in London, and you said, oh, well, while I'm here, I'd like to go to Edinburgh. I would say, well, you know, Edinburgh's quite a long trip up north, you know. So if you want to go to Edinburgh, why not sort of go to Lincoln and York on the way up to Edinburgh? Because I know the layout of the land, whereas you wouldn't necessarily know that on the way to Edinburgh, you can go to Lincoln and York.
Do I want to see it even, you know?
Exactly, yeah.
What about, you know, the single traveler, business traveler, digital nomads? We have a lot of those, or consultants. Yeah. But I mean, during the pandemic in this country, and I know it's still going on, we had a lot of traveling nurses and a lot of men and women, a lot of women out traveling around on their own.
Yes.
Going to a new country, even though it's England, which doesn't feel like the big, scary foreign country, but it can be if it's your first trip, especially maybe as a very young beginning professional coming over to a country. I think it's good to have someone kind of take you around if you're going to be based somewhere for a little while, give you the lay of the land to kind of say, like, you don't want to go down the street kind of thing. Not that you have that like we do in this country.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know,
That is really important. In fact, I had a lady over from Tasmania. She was in her late 80s. So she wasn't here for business. She was here for family history. And I was in correspondence with her daughter, who was also trying to help her to arrange all of this. And her daughter said something to me that sticks. She said, the thing is, she said, I'm actually trusting you with my mum. And I thought, well, yeah, you are, aren't you? You know, her mum was on her own. She was in her 80s. And this lady was trusting me to look after her mum for her. You know, so that is what it's all about, isn't it? You know, you need to have somebody who you can trust. And, you know, if you are a young woman on your own, it would be nice possibly to be accompanied by a granddad like me, you know, just so as you
know. And everyone, Glenn is happily married. He's got grandkids, you know,
exactly.
He's got children. He's been on our show for years. We can vouch for Glenn.
Well, exactly. But you know what I mean? It is all about, you know, how safe are you in these circumstances? If you were on your own, I mean, when my daughter was at university up in Nottingham, you know, she used to come down on the train and go back on the train. And then she had to get from the train to the bus and then from the bus to her accommodation. Mm. And obviously that's a worry because, you know, she's a young girl on her own in the city. Whereas if you actually thought about it and you were coming over here for a week or a fortnight, you know, you could have someone like me who would be a chaperone for you, you know, and actually take you everywhere from door to door and be there for you.
And just even getting to Heathrow, oh my God, navigating Heathrow is one thing.
Well, getting to the right one.
Right.
You know, there are five. There are five terminals, you know, it can be a headache.
And yeah, I want someone to pick me up and I do not want to try and drive a rental car from Heathrow into London. I don't want to do that. I'll be like, I know somehow the double-decker bus will be staring at me and I'll be staring at it going, yeah. I'm in a tiny little rental car. You're a double-decker bus. But right. I think everyone has to go in a double-decker bus once.
Yes.
They're fun. Yes. You've got to. And sit at the top. You've got to be on the roof.
At the top of the front. You've got to.
It is iconic. And you've got to go in a telephone booth. And I want to see everyone's telephone booth pictures. You still have them, right?
Not so many. Not so many because everybody's got one of these things, haven't they?
I know, but you've got the iconic red telephone booth.
I know, but they're still about, but not so much.
And when you go to Buckingham Palace, you still don't mess with the bobbies. You can still like talk to them and they'll just ignore you.
The guards don't talk to people.
Is it the bobbies? That's not the bobbies, right?
No,
that's
the guards. The guards don't talk. The policemen will talk to you.
Yeah. And they do carry a little bobby club. So that's
but, it's called a truncheon, dear.
Oh, dear. No, that's a little bit heavier. but we have guns in this country, so I think yours is a little safer, you know, just saying. Yeah, but you know, it's when you just think some of those iconic things still being there, it's you should do at least one of them just for the fun of it. Yeah. You know. Yeah.
And that is the whole point about getting off the beaten track. You know, if you're in the middle of London, yes, you're going to see Buckingham Palace and the Tower of London and the telephone box and the bobbies on the beat, but actually to actually get a taste out of what England is really like, you've really got to go out into the small towns and villages to get a taste of the real England.
I want to go to the Lake District.
It's gorgeous, really. Beatrix Potter. Do you know Beatrix Potter?
Yes, I've been to her place. I went as a little girl to Beatrix Potterland. I don't know what it's called, but I mean, and I think we still have an article of yours up on Blend Radio and TV. We were talking about literary heroes and, you know, Beatrix Potter. It was magical. There's like all these little hidden things, as I remember, in the forest area. I want to go back. All right. Yeah, well, we'll see you soon.
The Lake District is gorgeous. I love the Lake District. It really is beautiful.
Yeah. And here's the other thing, too. I've seen people... I just saw this on Facebook the other day. Someone got rid of their house, you know, sold it or whatever, and redid one of those boats to float down the canals in England.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
just to have canal life and to park and be able to do the trails and walk the trails.
Yes.
You know, well, so that's the other thing.
You can have a holiday on a narrow boat if you want. The narrow boat is the canal boat. And then you've also got the locks that you have to go up the rivers, you know, to get the right levels and that.
Like so Hyacinth Bouquet.
Yeah. If you want a holiday on a canal, I can sort that for you. You know, if you want anything, if you want to stay in a little tiny thatched cottage in the middle of nowhere, I can sort that for you.
So, you know? Yeah, you come on a business trip. Again, you know, a lot of people adding that 1 or 2 days. Sometimes you can do a whole week, right? But if you look at those quick things, can you go down the locks just even for an hour or two so you can have that experience? Because that's something like I look at that going, I want to go down the canals.
Yes, of course.
I want to do that. So they have that. Okay, so you could do short things that you like your bucket, some of your bucket list things you could do.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it depends what part of the country you're in. As to whether there are going to be canals with locks on them, because there's not locks on every part of the country.
Right.
But, you know, that sort of thing, you know, if you thought to yourself, well, I've always wanted to visit a real Norman castle, you know, that would be easy to source. If you thought, I would love to go and visit a ruined church. Yeah, I could do that for you. If you want to go and actually work with heavy horses, yeah, we could do that. You know, anything that sort of,
oh, the Clydesdales.
Oh yeah, that sort of thing.
I remember the Clydesdales.
The old heavy horses with the furry feet.
They're beautiful.
You know, just think about what you think, what you see as England. You know, if you want to say, right, I'd like to go to a cricket match, well, obviously you have to come in the summertime, but you know, you could go to a cricket match. If you want to go to a football match, and when we say football, we mean football, not your silly football with the big padded
soccer
shoulders. We don't have big padded shoulders for our football.
Yeah. You know. Okay. What about golf? Because I know business golf is also, golf is a big deal, and now we have disc golf, and golf football kind of things, and I don't know. There's all kinds of other things going. Don't ask me about it, but.
We've got loads of golf courses, from golf courses with, you know, surrounded a castle, to golf courses all the way along the coast. So you're actually playing golf, looking out to sea. You've got golf courses everywhere in England. So if you like golf, I could arrange you a golf tour, you know. The world's your
oyster. Endless.
Sorry?
I said it's endless.
It is.
Of what you can do. That's awesome.
Whatever you want to do can be done, really.
Yeah. I think a lot of people go to England also for the fashion industry, because there's a lot going on in fashion, you know, I think of London and everything. It's like, I was, you know, England was so on top of it, like New York, you know, New York and London being so fashion. Yeah. I'm not fashion conscious. I have no clue about it. It's like, if I put my shirt on straight, I'm lucky. But, you know, other people, that's a big deal, is to go shopping. And that's the thing, you go overseas, get something that's unique, not that you're going to find in the typical spit and cardboard shopping markets. Shopping malls.
And also you see, you can also buy things that are actually made here and not in China.
Yeah.
If you come with someone like me and you say, I want to actually buy some proper
Marmite
clothes, you know, of your Marmite, yeah. Funnily, you're talking about fashion. I actually know a well-known fashion designer. And, you know, so I could take you to his studio with him, and he could show you how he designs different things. You know, I know a bloke who makes his own jewellery, you know. So if you wanted a piece of jewellery and you wanted to see it made, then we could do that. You know, that's what I'm saying. Just think about what you want, and it can be arranged. And say for instance you're a jeweler and you're coming to England to do a conference about jewelry, then why not meet some real jewelers who actually live in the country and make their own jewelry?
Everybody may be going to the conference, but it's good to get out to actually the smaller people doing the hands-on crafting that you may not see. It may inspire you for designs. And if you go back in jewelry design, the Celtic symbology.
Oh, yes.
That's huge. Yes. I mean, England has it nailed for that. I mean, it goes back to, everything.
Prehistory. We in Norfolk, actually, we had one of the biggest discoveries of gold that was made sort of in prehistory. And if you look it up, it's the Snettisham Talk. And it was found in a little village in Norfolk. And it was one of them great big rings that they used to wear around their neck of twisted gold. And that it's in the British Museum. Absolutely amazing. You know, and these torques that they wore around their wrists, you know, just a plain torque, just a single piece of metal. You know, some of them are absolutely amazing. And they were done by people who lived in mud huts, not in spit and cardboard hotels.
Man, there's so much you can do. Everyone, norfolk-tours.co.uk is the website to go to. Email Glenn, he'll help you out. And also read his articles on blendradio and tv.com. He's here every fourth Saturday, but this December, it falls on Christmas Eve. So who wants to do business on Christmas, right? So you're supposed to be hanging out with family. So Monday, it's all on Monday. So everyone take a listen. And thank you so much, Glenn, and happy holidays to you and your family.
And to you. Yeah, lovely. Help everybody have a lovely Christmas.
And we'll see you on the flip side.
You will.
In January. Yeah.
See you then.